With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
So, welcome everyone to this week's FA Cup Stroke League special of the EvoStick Extra Podcast here on the EvoStick Podcast channel. Hello, James. How are you? James Hayes is joining me here now.
Evening, bud.
So, on this week's show, we've got loads of stuff coming up. We've got interviews with nearly every single manager in the league. That's what it feels like, anyway. We've got interviews with Jason Ainsley coming up, Gary Hackett, John McGrath at Michelover. We've got interviews with the Stamford manager, Graham Drury. We've got the league leaders on in Chris Hardy. We've got loads of interviews coming up. Before we get to all the league and FA Cup stuff, James, have you had a good week?
I had a good time in North Wales. Let's just leave it at that, shall we?
What happened in North Wales? You obviously came back safely. That's a positive. Yeah. Was there any more positives from Saturday for someone from Radcliffe?
Well, let's leave it as we've been a while since we've been in the top half of the table. So I'll leave that for when we'll discuss that with Berkey next week,
now,
I think.
Listener at home, you hear this guy talking here, all modest. You should hear him on Instant Messenger on Facebook, copying in Burka. You should hear the gloating that's going on at the moment. It's unbelievable what's going on the MPL Facebook IMs at the moment. It's disgusting. It really is. I wouldn't stand for it, Burka. I'd call him out on next week's MPL show. Right, before we get on to FA Cup and league stuff, it's now time to hear all about the results from Saturday afternoon. And for all the results from Saturday afternoon, it's now time to hand over to Cockers. Cockers!
Thanks, Ben. And Buxton's lead at the top of the table was cut to just 1 point following Saturday's result. That was due to the Bucks being held to a 4-4 thriller at third bottom Frickley Athletic and second place Rushall Olympic winning 4-0 at Coles Lane against Sutton Coalfield Town. Whitby Town are third after a 3-1 Turnbull Ground win over Marine AFC, taking the lead right on half-time through Michael Roberts. Blyth Spartans are just a point back in fourth after a 2-1 success against a now fifth-placed Hensford Town at Keys Park. Managerless Corby Town remain rooted to the bottom and are now 6 points adrift of the safety mark after going down 2-0 at Michelover Sports. Skelmersdale United complete the bottom four after they lost 3-0 at the new Manor Ground to Ilkeston FC, who are now out of the drop zone. Workington AFC's 2-1 win at Cantilever Park against Warrington Town signalled the end for the home side's management team. Stafford Rangers won 2-1 at Marston Road against Colville Town, while it finished goalless at Hurst Cross between Ashton United and Barwell. But there were 5 goals between Grantham Town and Hales Owen Town, which the visitors edged. And that's all of Saturday's league results. Back over to you, Ben.
So thank you to Cockers there for all the results from Saturday in the league. But we're going to start the show properly now with all the results in the FA Cup. Now, tie of the round, I would argue, was Nantwich against Stourbridge. And the game was pretty much over within 36 minutes, I'm going to suggest, at the Weaver Stadium in front of 755 supporters. Stourbridge won by 3-1. We're going to hear from Gary Hackett in a second or two. Very, very good result that for Stourbridge. And Stourbridge have now got Whitehawk. Jim White doesn't know where Whitehawk is or what Whitehawk have done. So we should tell him, really. Whitehawk were very good in the FA Cup last season, as were Stourbridge. It's going to be a very interesting game, that one.
Yeah, it's very rare you get a team repeat themselves from this level and getting to the first round, so well done to Stourbridge there. But I did say last week this was going to be a really tough one to call, but Stourbridge making more history again 2 years in a row.
Absolutely. Well, making history, let's speak to one of the history makers, Gary Hackett, manager at Stourbridge. Gary, congratulations for making it through to the first round proper. I guess you're used to that though now, aren't you?
I wouldn't say you're ever used to it. I mean, it doesn't diminish the achievement of getting there. You know, from the very first time we did it, and I think this is 5 times in 8 years, but it still feels extra special. And you know, that magic of the FA Cup has certainly not left established football club.
And the match in question in the fourth qualifying round away at Nantwich, on paper and probably in reality, really, it's a tough game to go to the Weaver Stadium to take on in-form Nantwich Town at the moment. But a bit of a smash and grab, really. 36 minutes done. That was that pretty much how it panned out on the afternoon.
It sounds easy when you say yes. over the radio, but you know, got to say, you know, they are a very good side. We have some cracking games against Nantwich. I think you get both teams trying to play good football, trying to have a go at each other. But you know, to be fair to Nantwich, they caught us on a good day. You know, we from 1-11, we certainly turned up, and we were well worthy of the win. And you know, the magnitude of it, I don't think Nantwich have ever reached the first round proper. And you know, it was a massive game for them, but you know, they're a good football club, good management team, and they just caught Stourbridge on a very good day.
And next up for Stourbridge is Whitehawk. Well, they've got a FA Cup pedigree all of a sudden as well, like Stourbridge have. What are you expecting? Have you had a chance to even contemplate that match yet?
Not really. I think, you know, you reach the first round proper, we had the draw at the club, and you've got quite a few supporters, players, everybody down there, and yes, you're looking for a plum draw, and possibly, you know, a little bit like this time last year, we drew Dover away, and, you know, a little bit underwhelmed at the time, you have to be honest, but, you know, once you get your head round it, and you go, yeah, you know, it's an opportunity, you know, it certainly is, and, you know, we've got to believe we can go down there and do what we did to Dover and get a result and be in that second round.
Now, the big challenge, obviously, now, Gary, is and I think you're used to this at Stourbridge now, it's keeping the eye on the prize, essentially, isn't it? It's making sure that, you know, the FA Cup's great, but the league's great as well, to be fair. And Stourbridge, you're in this mix now with the likes of Nantwich, Workington, Stafford, who might not have had the best of starts, but certainly are very, very capable of getting to the playoff positions this season and maybe beyond. How are you and the management staff going to keep the players' attentions on the league over the coming months?
Yeah, you would say with experience, you know, we should be very capable of doing it, but it is very hard. You know, it's everybody wants to play in these major games, and you know, it's a case of, you know, the team is not picked yet, and maybe people who possibly thought they'd be certainties, if their form dips in the league games, when they might find themselves out of it. But you know, probably our unfortunate stance is that we've played 17 games so far, of which 12 have been away. We've had 5 consecutive away draws in the FA Cup, which I don't know what the odds are, but they must be pretty stacked. And you know, this is not making moaning. This is fact. We've had one Saturday home game in the league so far this season, and the next one will be on the 19th of November. And you know, that's the negative. We've had a considerable amount of travelling, and you know, ironically, we're at Blyth Spartans tomorrow,
yes.
which is an absolute monster of a journey. But you know, you can only deal with the cards that are dealt you, and you know, we've got to get on with it. You know, we've been good enough to beat, you know, 4 teams away from home, you know, 3 in our league on the cup run, so we've done something right. So you know, we've just got to get on with it. And yes, of course, the league's of massive importance, and you know, we've only played 13 games, and there's a massive 33 games to be played.
Gary Hackett, well done again for getting through to the first round, flying the flag for the MPL, as always nowadays, in the FA Cup. And a big well done to everyone at the club and all your coaching staff and all the players. Big pat on the back from everyone here at the MPL show. Well done, Gary.
Cheers. Massively appreciated. Thank you.
So, Gary Hackett there from Stourbridge. A cracking result, that. And unfortunately, that match isn't going to be on television. And I'm quite surprised about that, actually. I'm also surprised that this next match isn't going to be on television either. MK Dons against Spennymoor. That I suggest that should have television on it. Lincoln United played Spennymoor this weekend. We had the chairman on last week for Lincoln United. It was always going to be a tough afternoon. And for Lincoln United to get anything out of that game, really, Spennymoor had to have a bit of an off day, and Lincoln United had to be 100% on it. 578 supporters, though, through the turnstiles at Asprey Avenue, and Spennymoor Town, they'll go through winning by 3-0. Spennymoor, as we said, getting that game against MK Dons in the next round. We're going to hear from Jason Ainsley in a second or two to hear his views about that match against Lincoln United, plus the future tie. But what's your general views, James?
Spennymoor were out to win that game completely. Lincoln had to be on the best form they've been for quite some time to get anything out of that result. The chairman, listening back to him as well, was thinking exactly the same. A real small possibility. It was a possibility, but the odds were completely against them. It's Fenimore, a completely different team from they were last year, and now their first visit into the first round. I mean, I think it's his first altogether, actually.
Well, I'll find out. Let's ask Jason Ainsley now, and we'll work from there. So we're now joined by the manager at Spennymoor. It's Jason Ainsley. Welcome back to the show, Jason.
Thanks, Ben.
Firstly, big, big congratulations on making it through to the first round proper. MK Dons awaits. Firstly, though, the task on Saturday, it's a no-win for a club like Spennymoor going into that one. If you're off your game, There's a chance of an upset. If you win, then it's kind of expected. But a professional performance, nonetheless.
It was a tough game, you know. It was one of them where all the expectations were on ourselves, because we'd obviously beat Chorley, which was a tough game. And Whitby was a real tough game. And Lincoln United, they're strong at home. They won the last day, so they had nothing to lose. But we started the game very well. You know, scored at the right times, which makes a difference. And it might have been different if they'd have scored first, but I thought we were in control of the game from start to finish, so it was a real professional performance.
And this just tops off a fantastic, well, 18 months now, 24 months really, for Spennymoor. It's that upward trajectory now, and now you're on the national stage. You've got you're on television this week, national television.
I know. It's been a crazy week, because I was down there on Monday, then we had Grantham on Tuesday, didn't get back till 12:45, and then I was fortunate to win a local Evening Gazette award for Coach of the Year last night. So it's been a real brilliant week for the club and myself, and like I say, it's down to the hard work and perseverance of all the people behind the scenes, and obviously the chairman that puts everything in place.
Now, we've just had Gary Hackett on from Stourbridge, and one of the questions I asked him, which is an appropriate question to ask Spennymoor, really, you've got games in hand now, but it's easier said than done, isn't it? I mean, it's mad, this. You're in October, and we're talking about, can Spennymoor keep an eye on the league and do the FA Cup stuff? How difficult is it to marry the two?
Great question, to be honest, because like you say, I would say when you were in the Northern League, it's not a problem, but because you're travelling forever and a day, and we were talking about that on the way home from Grantham, we seem to have been away every week. You know, we were at Lincoln, then we were at Buxton, we're at work tomorrow, we've been away at Colville a week before that, so every journey seems to take forever. So it's a big ask for the players, but we've got a good enough squad, and the chairman's obviously target was to get to the first round proper, and he's been doing that every couple of years, so it's important that we did get there, and like I say, it's important that we now fulfil our fixtures and not get too far dragged away from the chasing pack.
I'm going to drag you away right now. MK Dons, I'm surprised it's not on television, to be honest, because I think this has got upset written all over it, if I'm being frank. I trust you've not really thought about it though at the moment.
It's hard not to, because everybody at school is telling me about it. You know, everyone's asking for tickets. Everyone's talking about the match of the day appearance. So the FA Cup has sort of, in my mind, has tried to, you know, been a bit of a distraction from the league games. But it's a great one for us. Myself and my assistant manager, Tommy Miller, were driving back from Manchester City, and he's over the moon with the draw, because he's been there before and knows what a fantastic stadium it is. And like you say, it goes against the grain of most of the games that we play in our league, where, you know, a lot of the times we're expected to win. So we go in there full of confidence, nothing to lose, and a chance to showcase the talents of the players that have got us there, really.
Well, Jason, on behalf of all the listeners, a big congratulations to you, your coaching staff, the players and everyone associated with Spennymoor. It's a fantastic achievement to get to the first round. Congratulations once again, Jason, and thanks for taking the time out to come on the show, and we'll certainly have you back on in the lead up to that first round proper.
I really appreciate your time. Thanks for calling.
Spennymoor Town Manager Jason Ainsley there. Thank you for joining us on this week's show. Right, so we'll get to the impossible dream that took place on Tuesday in a second or two for one Evo Stick NPL side. But just to put on record, my humble apologies to Matlock Town. Out of all the ties, even the all NPL ties, I was absolutely convinced absolutely convinced that Matlock had it nailed against Altrincham on Saturday afternoon. So I'd like to apologise to Craig Copkins in particular and Glenn Kirkwood at Matlock for putting the jinx on him. They did take the lead, though, with Niall McManus on 32 minutes, but then Alti's superiority showed in the end. 1,071 in South Manchester watching that one, but Altrincham go through, unfortunately, and Matlock go out. But a very good effort there by Matlock Town. Now, I mentioned it earlier, the impossible dream. We all said it, that this game was the toughest out of all of them. To confidently say that an NPL side were going to do well and make it through. I'm referring to Stamford against Wrexham. We also said, and I think I edited it out of last week's show, unfortunately, I wish I'd kept it in now, that the underdogs never win the replay. They never win the replay. The first tie is always the only opportunity, really, where the underdog has a chance. At the Zico Stadium on Saturday, 1,264 supporters were there. Wrexham take the lead after 6 minutes. You could talk about the change in management and all that at the racecourse before the game. But Wrexham, 6 minutes in, they take the lead. On 59 minutes, though, a Lee Beeson penalty gets the equaliser for Stamford. And then it goes to a replay, James. It goes to a replay. And then on Tuesday night, James, it goes to a replay. And the unimaginable happens. Stamford go 2-0 up, James. 2-0 up, can you believe it, James, in the FA Cup? And then Wrexham claw it back. It goes to extra time. I listened to the Radio Wales commentary. The commentators were so confident that Wrexham were going to take the lead from there and just take the tie and go through to the first round proper. But Jack Duffy had other ideas. A winner from a free kick. It looked like it hadn't gone in, apparently. Everyone was stunned by it. But Jack Duffy made the scores 3-2 to the visitors Stamford. And Stamford go through, James. We're going to hear from Graham Drury in a second, but what are your thoughts?
Anyone who plays in Wales knows, especially North Wales, there's a huge support. It doesn't matter if it's Colwyn Bay, if it's Wrexham, Llandudno, Barrytown. No, not Barrytown. doesn't matter.
Real. That's real, in the north.
Real.
Yeah, real.
Real. Doesn't matter. It's a big, big community. It's a bit of a distance, but it's a big community in non-league football in the north of Wales. There's not as many rivalries as... But that goal was heard, I'd say, all over Wales, really. No one expected Stamford to get anything out of the replay. And he went there and dominated the game. But well done, Stamford, proving everyone wrong. And now, fantastic tie waiting for him as well.
Absolutely. They're travelling to Hartlepool United. And who knows what's going to happen there. I'll tell you who knows. Graham Drury, manager at Stamford. Let's hear from him now. So, a big, big result, that one, in the replay on Tuesday night. And joining me now, it's the manager, it's the welcome return of Graham Drury. Hello, Graham, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Very good.
So, we're recording this on Wednesday morning. And, well, how's your head and how are you feeling?
The throat's very sore, I'll tell you that. You know, chatting for 90 minutes like I do, but then to put another 30 minutes on top, it certainly took it out of the old vocals, mate. But, I'm a proud man today, very proud of the players, you know, proud for Stamford because it's the first time in their history to get to the first round. And as a group together, we showed some real character last night.
You went 2-0 up and then they clawed it back. And obviously it's a replay as well. So the thinking is that the underdog never does it in the replay, really. So markers were pointing to Wrexham. And then you pull it out, the third goal. How did that feel?
Well, you know, it was a strange one. It was a free kick, and I don't think anybody thought it had gone in, thought it had gone behind the goal. You know, it was like a delayed reaction. Everybody just, like, froze. And then we just see Jake Duffy running off, and we thought, it has, it's gone in. So we all followed. We all ended up in the corner. But, what a relief to see that go in the net. And, you know, Wrexham put us under so much pressure, and we just put our bodies on the line, and the players was blocking it, and it was going wide, and the keeper was making some unbelievable saves. What a feeling, you know, what a great feeling.
We spoke to Bob obviously on last week's show, and we were talking about the lead up to the match. Obviously Wrexham had a managerial change in the lead up to it, so everyone went, oh, maybe Stamford could do this. But you can't undersell the achievement that's gone into that game over the two matches to get through to the next round. It's just immense. And your reward is a trip to Hartlepool in the first week of November. What's your plans going into this game then now that you're into the first round proper?
Well, we've got to prepare right. You know, we've got a couple of games before that, a couple of big games. We've got Chase Town Saturday, who's flying well in the league, and we've not played many league games at the moment. We've only played seven. We've played more FA Cup games than we have league games. You know, we've played eight FA Cup games. So, you know, we've got to prepare properly for Saturday, and then we've got Hendersford in the trophy, which is another big game for us. We've got a trip to Baysford in the league on the Monday evening before, you know, we even think about Hartlepool. But we've got to prepare right. We've got to make sure that we, you know, do a scouting night and follow what they're doing, and, you know, try and find a jink in their armour, you know, and try and find a weakness there, and prepare properly and try and affect that game on the day. So it's all going to be about preparation now.
And that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, Stamford have been on the show three times now this season, so I think you're used to the attention from us. But
yeah,
you're going to have a few more people. I mean, you've got a Luck North interview coming up shortly, haven't you, and stuff like that. And that's the trick, isn't it? It's to make sure that, because when we spoke to the chairman, it is all about trying to get back into the NPL Premier Division. It's about keeping everyone's feet on the ground and benefiting from the coverage, but not getting too carried away with it.
Yeah, you've got to be right down to earth and, you know, get back to basics, ready for your league. And like you say, the NPL, you know, premise is where we want to be. Like, you know, the club, the facilities and everything deserve to be at that kind of standard. So we've got to concentrate on this league form. We've got to make sure that we're winning games in them competitions so we can move up the table and give ourselves a fighting chance come Christmas time to push on for playoff or, you know, push for the title. So, you know, we've got to put these to the back of the mind, but it's very difficult. You have to enjoy the moment. You know, we've got to, you know, get as much publicity as possible for the club, and you know, from there, you know, hopefully get a Hartlepool and do another big scalp.
Absolutely. Well, Graham, thank you for coming back on the show. I know you're very busy at the moment, and you must be springing around with a spring in your step. So thanks for coming on the show. And I did jokingly say to you when we had you on the previous time that I'll speak to you in the first round proper. Well, we'll speak to you in the first round proper in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did, mate. It's just a nice feeling to say Stamford's in the first round proper of the FA Cup.
Exactly.
You know, it's brilliant for the fans, brilliant for the club, fantastic for my players. Who deserve all the credit. All the credit goes to them players and them changing rooms. You know, they've not just beat Wrexham. They've played them twice and gone into extra time. And they found that extra gear, you know, that extra level of fitness. You know, we trained once a week, the full time. They would have prepared well. We arrived at 20 past seven last night. Like, preparation wasn't great, but the heart of that group was massive. And that's what I said. Can we break Wrexham's heart? And that's what we've actually done.
Well, Graham Drury from Stamford, congratulations to you, all your staff, all your players and everyone associated with the club. And well
Lovely.
Done again. And we'll hear from you again in a couple of weeks, just before that Hartlepool United tie. Thank you to Graham Drury for joining us, Stamford manager there. Hartlepool United away for them. Again, it's a bit of a surprise. It's not on television. I'm just surprised. I think Hartlepool United against Stamford is an intriguing match. Certainly more intriguing than the ties the television companies have picked. And MK Dons against Spennymoor Town. I just think there's definitely going to be an upset there at MK Dons. I'm saying that out loud, but I think Spennymoor have got a good chance. So that's the FA Cup. We'll be covering the FA Cup more in depth in a couple of weeks' time. As James has alluded to there is going to be an Evo Stick MPL show out next week where we're going to be focusing on the FA Trophy. Where are all these cup competitions coming from, James, all of a sudden? But the dudes are next. You watch. So a big good luck anyway at this moment to all the sides, the three MPL sides still in the competition. It's a cracking effort to get to the first round proper. From an FC United fan, I know how difficult it is to get to the first round, so well done to those sides who've done it, especially Stourbridge, who've done it now, as you said, 2 years on the trot.
Yeah.
Remarkable. Right, let's go to the league. Coming up in a second, we're going to hear from the managers from Whitby Town and Michelover Sports. Plus, we're going to hear from Andrew Simpson with an update from Warrington Town, because obviously Warrington have had managerial changes in this past week. And just to let the listener know, as to be open and transparent, we're recording this bit of the show at 20 past seven on Thursday night. The Andrew Simpson interview is being done at Friday lunchtime, so we don't know what Andrew Simpson actually says. as we're recording this bit, and we don't even know what's happening at Warrington Town. So there you go. So it's all pure speculation at this moment. We're also going to be having a fixture preview later on in the show as well with Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio. But let's just focus on Tuesday night's results now, James, before we move on. And Buxton weren't in action on Tuesday night. That's because their match against Stafford Rangers was postponed due to, well, it was raining. Raining a lot, actually, in the north of England, on that side of the Pennines anyway. And it was postponed. So they weren't in action. That meant Whitby Town could take full advantage. They beat Skelmersdale United by 1-0 away from home. A 72nd minute penalty from Dale Hobson. There you go. Top of the league for Whitby Town. Happy days. Earlier on Thursday, I caught up with the manager at Whitby Town, because Whitby Town won Team of the Month, didn't they, as well?
Indeed.
It's all going wrong for them at the moment at Whitby Town. That's the wheels coming off right there. Team of the Month award, plus appearing on the MPL show. I'm so sorry, Whitby Town. Anyway, I caught up with the manager, Chris Hardy, to hear his views on that result at Skem on Tuesday night, plus, well, the first 16 games of the season, which have gone quite well so far. We're now joined by the manager at Whitby Town. It's Chris Hardy. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Very well, yourself?
I'm all good. So, they do say you should only look at a league table after 10 games to make sense of it. It's now 16 games and Whitby Town are top. How's it been, this opening 16 games of the season, Chris, at Whitby Town?
I mean, judging by the position, it's been very successful. We've had performances and points to boot. And I think, you know, looking over the games that we've played so far, the points return is about, I would say, just about right. I don't think there's many games where we haven't really performed and got something from it. I think where we put a performance in, we've got something from the games. So like you said, I think the points tally is about right, and given the fact that other people's points tally is less than ours, it suggests it's the correct position.
And obviously on Tuesday night there was that away victory at Skelmersdale United, 1-0. I've got Roy Sewell in my head here saying winning an away game by 1-0, that suggests a team certainly in promotion form. What was that result like on Tuesday night?
I mean, it was a big result, especially given the fact that we possibly should have went into the interval possibly 3-4-0 up. We've missed some good scoring opportunities. So there was an element of frustration about, you know, us not being in the driving seat. But at nils apiece, you know, we fancied we had a goal in us and we could keep a clean sheet, and that's the way it panned out. So I think to go on the road on a Tuesday night and obviously come up with a clean sheet and 3 points was very, very pleasing.
Now, we're going to be speaking to the Michelover Sports manager in a second or two. Yourselves and Michelover Sports last season were enduring that relegation to-ing and fro-ing, trying to get yourselves out of that mire down there. What was your thinking going into the season about what Whitby Town could do in this opening gambit of the season?
We spoke, when I say we, that's myself, management team and the board. We spoke about, obviously, the next couple of seasons. We talked about the fact that if we could have a consolidation season for this season, then that would certainly sit in with the remit in terms of trying to push into the playoffs for the following season. Given the fact that Whitby have obviously had a number of seasons where they've flirted in and around the relegation spots, I think the consolidation season was massively important that we achieved that. We're certainly well on the way to doing that. You know, each game as it comes, the old cliche, and see where we are come April time.
And the league itself this season is highly competitive. I know we're talking and we're saying Whitby Town are top, Blyth Spartans had a dip in form, they're now second, there's Buxton who are in the mix, Rushall, Warrington, Hensford, Michelover, Spennymoor, Ashton United, I've got to say everyone now, haven't I? There's loads of teams in the league capable of mounting a playoff and title run this season. Whitby Town, though, definitely in the mix.
Well, I mean, if the present position is anything to go by, then yeah, definitely. You know, I think from the point of view of the resources we've got at Whitby, we know we've got limitations, and if we get, you know, a bit of a bad run in terms of injury suspensions, then that's going to play its toll, like it does with all teams. But I think sometimes our resources can be a little bit more stretched than others. So as much as we can do is take each game as it comes, and if we can keep winning games, it does suggest that other teams are going to be dropping points along the way because of the nature of the league and how competitive it is. So, you know, rather than looking too far ahead, you know, we'll focus on training this evening and we'll go into Saturday. And that is, you know, as far as we're planning, so to speak.
Well, Chris Hardy, manager at Whitby Town, thank you for taking the time out to come on Evo Stick Extra this week, and well done for the season so far, and all the best for the remainder.
Appreciate your efforts, mate. Cheers.
So that's Chris Hardy there, Whitby Town manager. You mentioned before that interview there, James, about Blyth Spartans. It feels like they've turned a bit of a corner now. A 3-1 win at Croft Park against Ilkeston. That's a good result for Blyth Spartans there. Steadies the nerves a bit and sees them up to second in the league.
Yeah, Blyth needed that result. I've said this last week, I said it the week before. They needed just to get a win under the belts and get back into that title contention before it was too late. Robert Dale as well, back on the scoring sheet in quite a while as well. So, I mean, Ilkeston have been playing very well. Finally, they've managed to get out of the bottom four. And now Alan Armstrong's got a lot to build on. But I say, looking at the league table at this moment in time, this could get tasty come Christmas.
I'll tell you what, it's tight, isn't it? It really is. I should say as well, if you hear any children in the background, it's bath time in the Hughes household. That's what you can hear in the background, if you can hear children playing and stuff. Anyway, just to move on, 511 people at Croft Park as well for midweek. That's sensational, I have to say. Rush Olympic, they missed the opportunity, though, to take over as leaders when they were held to a 2-2 draw. They were managerless at the time, weren't they? Warrington Town, they're still fifth. As we said, we can only speculate at time of recording about Warrington Town. I feel we should really hand over to Andrew Simpson from the Midchester Guardian to hear his views on Warrington Town. He's been into his newspaper's Warrington office this past week, so he's up to speed. So let's see what he has to say. So, Andrew Simpson now joins us from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. The Mid-Cheshire Guardian is like some kind of News Corp organisation, but a bit more friendly and a bit more nicer, of the Cheshire world. And they've got offices in Warrington, so it seemed appropriate to get Simo on to discuss what's been going on at Warrington Town. Obviously, they've parted company with the two managers this past week. Where are we up to, Simo?
Yes, indeed. After last Saturday's 2-1 home defeat against Workington, the club announced later the same evening that Stuart Mellish and Lee Smith, their management team, had parted company with the club. I think that came as a surprise, definitely to Stuart Mellish, for one, but also to everybody else outside, because despite losing that game, they were still in the table's top six. They went into that game just outside the playoffs positions, and have since actually returned to that because drew at Rushall on Tuesday under temporary manager Steve Hayes, who currently runs the reserve team at Warrington Town, and it looks like he'll be taking the team again for tomorrow's game at Hales Owen. As we record this, there's no announcement been made of a replacement, and indeed the deadline for applications is today, so it may just be that the club are waiting to see if anybody throws their hat into the ring late on in that process. So that's where we're up to. And I mean, they go into tomorrow's game in the playoffs. So they win tomorrow. They're still in the top five in what seemingly from the outside looks a great position.
Is this? I mean, we've been here before, haven't we? is this Warrington basically saying this is a very good job here? Who can we get? Is that what's happening here?
I think so. I mean, I've thought a lot about this week, and you're right to say we've been here before, because we were having conversations of this type at the turn of the year, well, just after the turn of the year, when Sean Reid left. Warrington were in the midst of this race for the title with Northwich Victoria in Division 1 North, and everyone went, oh my word, I can't believe you changed your manager at this point. Stuart Mellish went on to finish the job, to deliver promotion, which was obviously their aim last season, and Toby McCormack has acknowledged that this week when he's been talking about Stuart leaving. So he was proved right, if you like, because they made the change and they got promoted, job done. Now, if you want to be a little bit cynical about it, you might just say, well, Jim Gannon left Northwich Victoria around the same time and they never really recovered. So was it all on what Warrington did, or was it the fact that Northwich's title bid ended because of they lost their manager as well? That might be a little bit unfair. They did the job, they got the title won. Now, we all know, we've talked about this on many podcasts, Warrington are a hugely ambitious club, made no bones about the fact that they want to not just be competitive this season. And again, Toby's reinforced this week, he wants the team to finish in the playoffs, to be in a position to challenge to get promoted to Conference North. There is no messing about here. And I suppose if you look historically, we often see teams that come up from Division One North, they carry on that winning run, that winning mentality, and often are. We've seen it, Curzon, Ashton, Halifax, Fylde, Chorley, all these teams who've done really well once they've come up from Division One North. And I think there's an element of that at play that we want to capitalise on that on our first season rather and see if we can kind of do that double jump, or at the very least finish in the top five to be contenders. I mean, it depends how you want to look at it. I mean, Stuart Mellish has done an interview with the Warrington Guardian this week with one of my colleagues and said, well, hang on a minute, we were on course to deliver exactly that. You know, we were all right on the fringes of the top five after losing to Workington, but, you know, a draw in midweek has put them back in it. So what we're on course to deliver what the chairman and what the board have asked us to do. So it depends kind of which way you want to look at it. I mean, before we started talking today, I did have a little look at the numbers. You know, I like to do things like that. And Warrington have played more games than all the teams around them. So you've got the old points on the board versus games in hand argument. If the teams below them win the games in hand, Warrington's position in the table will change. There's a couple of other things that I just wonder if Toby's looked at it and gone, we're not quite doing as well as we might think we are. Only Grantham and Frickley have lost more home games. Warrington have conceded more goals than any other side in the top 15 or 16, I had a look this morning. And if you rejig the table on kind of points per game, they would be mid-table at the moment.
And the other thing to say as well, and we mentioned it throughout this week's show actually, is it's the clubs like Stafford Rangers, like Nantwich Town, like Workington, like Stourbridge, all milling around in mid-table land. And you just think to yourself, they are capable, very capable indeed, of putting a run together, certainly from now, but certainly in the second half of the season as well. And
Without question. I mean, look, we'll have to see. Toby was proved right last time, as I say, and it's important to say that. And so he's made an early call on this and gone, I think I've seen enough after 16 games for me to decide. They've lost 7 of the 16. So, again, that's a lot by middle of October. And he's looked at it and gone, I don't believe that we can meet the objectives that I've set. Now, it depends, like, say, how you want to look at it. Like, say, literally, they are in and around it. But obviously, if all the results don't go their way, they will slip down the table. One curious thing about the recruitment that is probably worth noting is that when they put the notice out for advertising the vacancy, they said they would be interviewing for both positions, for both the manager and the assistant, which I think was really curious, don't you?
I thought it was interesting. When I read that, I went, oh, that's novel. But then I thought, actually, that's probably the way non-league's going now. We mentioned this on last month's NPL show, didn't we? This rise in joint managers. But you certainly want a partnership, don't you? And obviously, I think this is because Stuart and Lee both did an excellent job as a duo. I think they just want to carry that on, don't they? The best they can.
Definitely. I think it's a really important appointment. If they're serious, and I think they genuinely are, so we've spoken to Toby previously, they genuinely are serious about challenging to be promoted again, then it is going to be a really important appointment in that club's history. And that's quite an important word to attach to Warrington Town this season. They're playing at the highest ever level. Stuart reinforced, you know, the team has never been this high in the non-league pyramid before. They are in uncharted territory in that respect, but Toby obviously feels that with the squad they have already and perhaps the resources available to whoever gets the job, that they don't feel as a board it's an unrealistic expectation for Warrington to be up there. And like I say, maybe they have looked at the Curzons and the Fylds and the Chorleys and all these teams we've reported on in the past and gone, well, look, they were able to keep this momentum going and either get promoted or at the very least challenging the playoffs when they'd come up from Division One North. So really going to be fascinating when they do unveil who it is to see whether they can then deliver on what Toby's expectations are.
And the best place, we've mentioned the Warrington Guardian, that's obviously a very good place to keep abreast of everything that's going on with Warrington Town. What about yourself, Simo? Because you cover everything in Cheshire's non-league world. How can people follow you?
Yeah, at @Simo_on_sport, all things Witten Albion North of Victoria, never dull moment over in this part of the world. And obviously, we're going to have a build-up to a really big FA Trophy game next week between Colwyn Bay and Witten Albion. So it's and obviously Witten doing great in Division 1 South as well. So yeah, keep an eye on that, never dull.
Thanks, Simo. Job well done. So Warrington Town, we'll part Warrington Town, James, because we honestly don't know, do we? But we wish the former management team well. Hensford Town, they dropped out of the top five after losing 2-0 at Kirkby Road against Barwell. Barwell, again, proving It feels like every season we bring Bowell have been in the NPL Premier Division. They're so unpredictable. So unpredictable.
Yeah.
They're a team that they're like a Jack Russell, aren't they? They look cute, but I bet there's a bite somewhere there.
Yeah, you're right there. I can look at the last couple of results for them as well. They're getting the points where they matter. It's more the fact that they got odd silly point against teams that they relatively could be beating week in, week out.
Michelover Sports, we're going to be hearing from John McGrath in a second, the manager at Michelover Sports. They're now in seventh after a 1-0 win against fourth bottom Sutton Coldfield Town at Coles Lane. We've said it numerous times, Michelover Sports are having a cracking season. Can't really take it for granted. Let's hear what John McGrath, the manager at Michelover Sports, has to say. So, a cracking result midweek for Michelover Sports. And joining me now to discuss the club and, well, the form that they're going through at the moment, we're joined by the manager. It's John McGrath. Hello, John. How are you?
Hi, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all good, mate. So, Sutton Coldfield midweek, a 1-0 win. Michelover Sports, now a point from the playoff positions after 16 games. This has been a phenomenal start for the club. What's it all down to?
I just think it's you know, we've, you know, me and my assistant Steve Taylor, we recruited quite well in the summer. You know, we probably, it's common knowledge, we've got quite a small budget for that league. And we recruited some, you know, some good characters, some good players, and we're seeing the fruits of that now. You know, like Tuesday night, you know, an almost perfect away performance at Sutton Coldfield. You know, we defended well at times and, you know, kept the ball well at times, and I think it's down to teamwork.
Going into this season, obviously last season, it was Michelover didn't really have a bad start. It was just they played a lot of games more than everyone else, and they kind of got swallowed up by the chasing pack, and then you were in a relegation dogfight a bit. What was the expectations going into this season? I mean, what were you expecting? Were you expecting to be this high up the table at this time?
No, I think, you know, I think our expectations from the club, the chairman, you know, from the committee and the fans are, you know, can we stay in this division? Can we stabilise? But, you know, I'm an ambitious person. You know, I was always an ambitious player, and as a manager, that doesn't change. And I want to finish as high as I can, you know, every season I manage or play. And, you know, to be 1 point outside the playoffs in seventh position, I'm really, really pleased with how it's gone so far.
And I bet everyone at the club's buzzing at the moment, because obviously a few seasons back, there was relegation to Division 1 South, and now to be at this stage, I bet the mood is excellent at the club at the moment.
Yeah, it's a lovely club to be at. It reminds me a lot of Burton Albion. It's a nice family-run club. I've got a really good chairman in Don Amos. Don's a local guy. And he just, you know, he puts no pressure on me, which in turn, I don't put any pressure on the players. And, you know, we end up, you know, with a really good bond, you know, a really good mix of youth and experience. And everyone chips in, you know, whether it be a volunteer committee member who comes and does the gates, or whether it be, you know, my captain and centre-half, Thomas Bergen, who got injured on Tuesday night, but he's doing the kit after the game, you know, just to muck in and help, you know. So, you know, we're all travelling the same direction. Everyone's pulling the same way.
And this weekend you got Grantham Town. I should say at this point, John, we had Grantham Town on a couple of weeks ago. They won the next match they were on, so you can't blame us for any poor form following this interview. But what are you expecting from Grantham? And what are you expecting for up until Christmas now? Because you're in the mix, aren't you?
Yeah, we're in there. Grantham away will be a tough game for us. They'll be at home. They'll, you know, they'll be expected to win. But again, I go into the game fearing nobody. I think we've played teams at the top, we've played teams at the bottom, and I think, and I've said all the time, I said if we can put some consistency together, I think we'll be okay. Grantham will be no different. We'll, you know, prepare the same way as we always do. We've got a full clean bill of health, players wise. I set myself a target, you know, each month. I take a month at a time, and then we evaluate. But yeah, Christmas time, if we're there, thereabouts, then, you know, we can hit the new year maybe in reevaluate and see where we go.
Well, if you're in the mix at that point, we're definitely getting you back on, and probably every week up until that point, because it's amazing so far this season. And all the best to you, John, and all your coaching staff and everyone at the club at Michelova Sports. And thanks for coming on this week's show.
Thank you very much, Ben.
So John McGrath there from Michelova Sports, thank you for coming on the show. Good egg, by the way, John McGrath, I have to say. Good debut on the show for John. But Michelova Sports, cracking start. Sutton Coldfield, though, what do you think? I mean, there's teams around them now who look like they're going to stretch their legs a bit, like Ilkeston, like Stafford. Well, Stafford Rangers already have, haven't they? Like Ilkeston, like Coalville Town. They need to start getting results on the board now, I think.
Yeah, you're kind of right there. I mean, looking at what the predicted table is at the end of the season on football web pages, they're currently expected to finish rock bottom at this moment in time. I don't see that with how they've been played. And this coming Saturday against Ashton, it's not going to get any easier. They've got a leak in the trophy, Hemsfield away on the Monday after. Hey, it's just somewhere.
Let's stick with Ashton. Ashton United didn't overtake Michelova Sports midweek. That's because they went down to a 1-0 to Workington AFC. Spennymoor Town, they also got beat, didn't they? 3-1 they got beat to Grantham at the Mears. That's a cracking result for Grantham Town. Grantham Town this season are a lot like Barwell, aren't they? They might look harmless enough, but they're not. They're going to be one of them sides, a bit like Hales Owen as well, who can literally beat anybody in this league. And they're going to be dogged, I feel. And Spennymoor came unstuck there. But that also points to another thing we mentioned, because I think Stourbridge dropped points as well, didn't they? It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to keep the concentration levels up when this FA Cup run's taking place as well. Stourbridge, there was a 2-2 draw against Coalville Town at Owen Street. So that's a good result, that, for Coalville Town. It's an okay result for Stourbridge, I think we could say that. Nantwich Town, they bounced back on Tuesday, beating Marine 3-1 at... well, it's not called the Arriva Stadium anymore. It's called the Marine Travel Arena. That sounds delightful, doesn't it? Lovely.
I'll say that.
Yeah, it's a lovely name, stadium, that. Matlock Town beat Hales Owen Town by 3-0 at the Grove on Tuesday night. That's a good result for Matlock Town. So both Matlock and Nantwich bouncing back from their FA Cup disappointment from Saturday. So that's good for both clubs.
It is indeed.
And just to cover off one midweek result from Wednesday, there's one club who play their midweek matches on a Wednesday. And normally the results come back and they're not good results for that team who play their midweek games. But this week I'm making an exception, and that's Corby Town. Corby Town getting a cracking result on the board from Wednesday evening. 2-0 at home to Frickley Athletic. A cracking result that for Corby Town and the new management team there. Is there hope? There's hope now, isn't there? It's only October, what we're talking about. Oh, we've turned into Talk Sport, James.
There's hope. Again, they've had a change of management as well, so it's a lot more... This is going to be a great opportunity for the new management team to see what they can do. Great result, and they've had to score more than one goal in a game as well. Again, ignoring the Blythe Spartans result. But it's just time for them to settle down and get back into the stride. They know they can do it. Whereas for Frickley, it's now starting to really get worrisome for them. They're just not getting the results when they need them.
James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group. How can people get in touch with the NPL Facebook group and have banter and discussions and serious talk?
Yeah, at facebook.com/groups/NPL or on Twitter at the NPL group. And just as I said that as well, and said that about Curzon about 20 minutes ago, the BBC have just decided that they want Aaron Flanagan's face on Football Focus because they're doing it live from Westfield.
What? This is outrageous. I think I've been to more Curzon games now than Flanagan has. It's outrageous. Seriously, listen at home. It's amazing the opportunities that the NPL show has brought to people. Aaron Flanagan is the classic example. What was he doing when he first arrived on the NPL show? Evening news?
Evening news
when he was evening news, tea runner kind of person. In fact, when he's selling papers on Market Street, that's what he was doing.
And he was dressing up as a chicken as far as I'm aware.
Exactly, yeah. And then he's chasing David Cameron down the street just as a chicken. And now he's on Football Focus. James Hayes, he's been on the GMR. He's been on Radio Manchester. This is outrageous.
In fairness, though, Berkey invites just anyone on there.
Swampy and Berkey swanning around on the non-league show. Roy Sewell heralded by all and sundry for being a non-league mastermind. What about the presenter, Ben Hughes? He's been on absolutely nothing. Nothing. It's outrageous. Anyway, on that note, now time to draw a line under these results and previews. Thank you to James Hayes from the Evo Stick MPL show for joining me. But it's now time to draw a line under the past, James, and look to the future. And speaking of which, we'll be hearing from you next week on the MPL show, won't we?
We will indeed.
So, enough about James Hayes and the past. It's now time to draw our eyes to the future and join in hands with me to look to the future as one. We're now joined by Whitby Town Radio's very own, it's Andrew Snaith. Hello, Andy, how are you?
Hiya, Ben. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Nice to be here.
We'll discuss the Barwell-Whitby Town match at the end, because then we can plug Whitby Town Radio as well. There's a couple of really big matches this weekend. They stick out like a sore thumb. And I don't know where to start. We'll start with this one at Silverlands. Buxton against Spennymoor Town. Now, Spennymoor in eighth at the moment. Very much a false position because of all the FA Cup stuff. They've got games in hand. They're currently 2 points from the playoff positions, 7 points from Whitby Town up at the top. But like I said, they do have 4 games in hand. It's going to be a very big game, this one at Buxton. And what do you reckon? Because you've seen Spennymoor twice now, haven't you, this season so far?
We have, and we've been to Buxton as well. I think Spennymoor are well equipped to deal with what Buxton have. They're a very, very workmanlike side, Buxton. Everybody knows where they're going to be. They just seem like it's quite slick and how they've put things together. Everybody knows the role. But what Spennymoor have is that physical ability to be able to have a plan B. It's something that occasionally Whitby suffer with if a side go direct. And Buxton have the ability to do that. They hit us a couple of times from set pieces, just knockdowns that they smashed into the net. And I think Spennymoor will have the physical ability to deal with that. Got big Jamie Curtis at centre-half, who must be 6'5 at least. And he's the kind of player that they'll need there to cope with Buxton's threat. I wouldn't be shocked if Spennymoor went there and got a result.
And Stourbridge are in the other possibly match of the day. Stourbridge are travelling to Blyth Spartans. Blyth Spartans, I looked away last week, they were sixth, they're now second. How has that happened? I don't say results.
goals, I would say, Ben. They have got goals in their team. They are the big scorers in the league, 32 goals already, and they score. And we always mention Robbie Dale, but there's quality up there alongside him as well, like some Maguire. They score the goals. They're a good attacking side. They can take teams apart, especially at home. Stourbridge relished that trip all the way up to Northumberland, and it'll be a tough ask for them. I mean, you're right in mentioning the FA Cup runs. Stourbridge have only played 13 games because of their FA Cup exploits, and congratulations to them as well. It's been superb. Great to see three Evo Stick League sides through to the first round proper. They'll give Blyth a good game, no doubt.
Let's deal with Rush Olympic. They're in fourth position at the moment. 1 point off league leaders, Whitby Town. Rush Olympic this weekend are hosting Frickley Athletic. Frickley Athletic, I think, been doing a bit better, but they have played a few games more than those teams around them now, and they're back in it all of a sudden, the relegation battle, and that's going to make for an interesting game against Rushall.
They're really, you would think that they're everything's against Frickley there. They've got to go to Rushall, who are strong at home, fourth in the league, just 2 defeats down there. It's a long trip from Frickley. Frickley haven't got a single point on the travels. 7 games away in the league, 7 defeats. So that is their big challenge, and that's also down to that defence of theirs. They've been shipping goals, really awful goal difference, minus 25, 42 conceded. It's a real nightmare for Frickley. You know, your bookies would be against them, but you know the spirit they have.
4 all against Buxton.
You wouldn't bet against something happening. Yeah, exactly, exactly. Huge task for Frickley to go to Rushall and get something. You would have to make Rushall your favourites in that game.
Now, on this week's show, we've obviously heard from Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, but he's got offices in Warrington as well, so he covers Warrington town, and we spoke to him this week. We're recording this segment of the show, though, between me and Andrew Snaith, on Thursday evening at 6:20. Andrew Simpson's interview we've left till about 1 o'clock on Friday, so we don't currently know the situation at Warrington Town. All we can say with some certainty is that Warrington Town will be travelling to Halesowe in town this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Warrington, up until Tuesday, the team who just don't draw. I was conducting a post-match interview with Chris Hardy, and of course that Rushall-Warrington game in midweek didn't kick off till 8:10. As I was talking to Chris, it was just after the Whitby-Skelmersdale game, and I said to him, with Rushall 2-0 up the last we heard, Chris will probably be in second going into the weekend. You know, still pretty upbeat after a victory late in the game, and suddenly Warrington roar back. They finally get a draw. Surely the most inconsistent team in the league. 8 wins, 7 defeats.
One of the games this weekend is Stafford Rangers against Workington. I wasn't going to cover it now, but we might as well now mention it. Stafford Rangers, they can literally beat anybody in this league. Workington can beat anybody in this league, and perhaps both clubs would feel like they should be higher. And that's what we're talking about. That's the calibre of the league this season. Stafford Rangers are in 18th at the moment. And they're much better than that, aren't they?
Yeah, many people's picks to be up there in the top five. And same for Workington as well. What I will say is just keep an eye on Workington, because saw them a couple of weeks back and they're getting back to their best.
Sixth at the moment is Hensford Town. Hensford Town are travelling to Stormy Corner to take on Skelmersdale United. Now, Skem, do they deserve to be bottom of the league at the moment? Obviously, I've got Roy Sewell in my head now saying, well, league tables don't lie, Ben. It's true, but do they?
I was going to quote Roy, actually. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the league table is what it is. But Skelmersdale, the last I heard as well, talking to their media guy as well, Neil Leatherbarrow, who knows his stuff, was saying that Tommy, the manager there, was off to arrange a meeting with a local club in the Northwest who were in the conference to get some players on loan. So, you know, they may well come out of the woodwork for Saturday's game. They might suddenly unveil two or three new players and give Hensford a real game.
Now, Micklova, we spoke to John McGrath earlier, and we mentioned Whitby Town having a cracking start. Micklova too have had a cracking start to the season. As of Grantham Town, to be fair, both of them go head-to-head this weekend, Grantham Town against Micklova Sports. This time last year, you would have fancied that to be a relegation six-pointer, but I don't think either team are in trouble this season, and I think Micklova might have their eye on staying up at that up at the top end of the table.
Yeah, indeed. And Micklova, what they have is a good, strong defensive unit there. They're well drilled as well, but they've got some really big, strong lads at the back. Good goalkeeper as well. Defensively, they're stubborn and organised. As a Grantham as well, they did a number on Whitby. These are both sides that have taken points off us earlier on this season. Grantham at home, they surrounded our midfield, they pushed on, and they gave us no space in there.
Now, Ashton United, they're in ninth, and if you base it on the league positions, you go, oh, that's them out there, playoff contentions. 2 points from fifth place Warrington Town at the moment, are Ashton United. This weekend, they're travelling to Sutton Coldfield Town, who, it's an interesting one, this, isn't it? Because Sutton Coldfield Town, in that fourth from relegation spot at the moment, they've got Ilkeston on the same number of points. I don't think Ilkeston are going to stay down there for too long. Coldfield and Stafford are getting a bit of form together. I don't think Sutton Coldfield will want to be left behind.
You'd fear for Sutton. Having seen them twice now, I'd fear for them. They've got one or two good forward players, but they've got a very, very good goalkeeper in James Wren. But there's big problems there, and they were the poorest side I've seen this season. I thought they were poorer than Skelmersdale.
They did beat Stourbridge a couple of weeks ago, so they have got a win in them. But when they lose, they beat 4-0 against Rushall and 5-0 against Hensford. And you beat them 2-0. So
yeah, indeed. It'll be interesting to see how Ashton, how they do with the artificial pitch there at Sutton as well. Whilst that can be a leveller for teams. I mean, the home form Sutton isn't too bad. It's in and out, but it's certainly not terrible. It's on the travels where they've really struggled.
Right, we've got Matlock Town against Marine this weekend. Marine have dropped down a bit, and I feel bad because pretty much since I interviewed them. And obviously, I interviewed Matlock Town a couple of weeks ago. Then they get knocked out of the FA Cup after I said it's nailed on, they're going to win. I feel bad now. Help me.
Yeah. And rightfully so, you've jinxed it. And Marine at home, that could be crucial. That could be crucial. Just one defeat over at Rossett Park there. So you would fancy them on home turf. Obviously, Matlock, they're having a good season. They've had some great wins. Cracking one in midweek as well.
Now, we've got Nantwich Town, who are the most informed team at the last six matches. And Nantwich Town, who are currently sitting there in mid-table land in 12th position. 7 points from the playoff positions at the moment. They do have games in hand. They've not got the distraction of the FA Cup. But Nantwich Town, this weekend, Nantwich Town are travelling to Corby Town. Now, Corby Town are an interesting one because, well, they've put a good result on the board. So, what does that mean?
They've finally started to turn things around, maybe a little bit of stability by bringing in Gary Mills as a new manager. It's going to be helped from a Nantwich perspective by the fact they're on their travels again. They've been very poor at home, actually, in the league. Just one win in five, but away, still unbeaten. Corby, could they be the next Colwyn Bay or Hyde? No offence to Corby,
they're
but
it
can be difficult, can't it? Yeah, they still get great gates, but it can be difficult adjusting to going into this division. And from coming down, often teams tend to continue with that trajectory. It's looking like it's going to be a long season for them. And another side that haven't won away yet, that might be a telling start.
But the last one that we're going to mention before we start promoting Whitby Town Radio, obviously, is Colville Town against Ilkeston. It's 19th against 20th. It was looking a bit shaky for Colville, but then they started to get a couple of results on the board. Ilkeston are slowly moving the way up the table, which I think everyone pretty much expected. What do you think?
Yeah, fair point all, and the checks in the post regarding Whitby Town Radio. Yeah, Colville, Ilkeston, two sides that are in the bottom half there. Ilkeston with all those games still to play, seeing them this season. Good home record, struggling on the travels, but a good young team, play proper football, really good to see. Colville's issue is at the back, 33 goals conceded. That's what they've got to shore up. I think those lively Ilkeston forwards might just look to exploit that. It's whether they can take those chances when they create them, which will decide whether they get a positive result on Saturday.
And lastly, but not leastly, we've got this one here. Barwell against Whitby Town. Whitby Town Radio will be there for those who can't make it. There's going to be burgers galore everywhere you look. And a load of Whitby Town fans going, I just want a pie. Just want a pie. But you can get burgers. That's the most important thing. Barwell against Whitby Town. What do you reckon?
Forgot to have a burger there last time, actually, last year.
Wow,
I know. I've just been hearing all the reviews. We were royally done over right at the end of the game, deep into injury time. We finished the last kick at Barwell last season. It's a ground where Whitby have never won. So I'm reluctant to be too optimistic going into that one. It's a long trip, and we're going to be without Dale Hobson with a one-match suspension accumulating yellow cards. He's a focal point of much of Whitby's best play, so it'll be a tough ask for Whitby. It always is a Barwell, a big, strong side, and big, strong sides tend to provide formidable opposition for Whitby. So I think it'd be an extremely difficult game. It wouldn't be a terrible place to get a point, but it's so competitive at the top there. I mean, there are three teams just a point behind Whitby: Blyth, Buxton, Rushall. They're all lining up for a pop, aren't they? I don't think a point would be enough to keep Whitby top of the league. Never thought I'd be saying that.
There you go. And for those people who can't make it, and even if you're at another game in the NPL, you're very good at covering all the other matches that are taking place. You could with updates and that kind of thing. Where's the best place to listen to the Whitby Town Barwell match, even if you're at another match, perhaps?
Thanks, Ben. The best thing you can do is download a free app called TuneIn. If you're listening on your mobile, it is superb. It really does help. And if you can get that downloaded, that will help you immensely. Whitby-town.com. Otherwise, follow the links, Club Media, Whitby Town Radio there. But yeah, in TuneIn, you can just search it and there it will come on and make your life much easier that way. Yeah, we just noticed on our listenership figures, not sure if it's the same for any of the broadcasts you do, Ben, but we get much higher figures midweek, which I think is down to people not being at games. They manage to just want to listen in as neutrals. We get quite a lot of those. Yeah, we do, and I do appreciate it. We do get a lot of texts in from people from different clubs, and we do appreciate everybody who listens, both Whitby fans, opposition, and indeed neutrals.
Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio, thanks for joining us for this very, very informative fixture preview for this weekend. All the best travelling down to Barwell, and you have a lovely week.
Thanks very much, Ben. And as I'll probably not get the chance to say that next week, we are top of the league. Oh, yes, get in.
And that, dear listener, is the end of this rather mammoth Evo Stick Extra. Apologies for the length of this week's show. We just wanted to squeeze in as many interviews as we could. Let us know. I mean, do you like these hour and 15 minute shows? I can't tell. It's been a joy to produce this week's show anyway. A big thank you to all my guests this week. Certainly too many to mention, but well done for listening this far. And a big congratulations once again to the three sides who've made it through to the first round proper of this season's FA Cup. A big good luck to all our sides in league action this weekend. A big special well done goes to Brighouse Town, who've conceded their Dudeson match with Shaw Lane. So Shaw Lane go through in the Dudeson. Very sporting at Brighouse. So a big congratulations to Brighouse and Shaw Lane as well, of course. But that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. Next week, it'll be the Evo Stick NPL show, recorded live at the Heat and Hops, the award-winning Heat and Hops in South Manchester. There'll also be a Evo Stick Division 1 show out next week as well. But well done for making it this far, certainly. NPL Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/the NPL. Don't forget as well, you can follow this show on Twitter. That's at NPL show. And have a look at the Evo Stick League website, because on the Evo Stick League website, there's a survey. And on that survey, there's questions about the podcast. So while you're on there, why don't you type in, I like the podcast, especially the really long ones, the ones that last, well, nearly as long as a football match. They're great. Anyway, thank you for listening, dear listener at home. I've been Ben Hughes, and you take care and have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.